harvesting it. I said, can I get like a file of people? Can I pick the ACL that I get here? I mean, you know, I don't want some worn out, terrible 90-year-old ACL. But when they got in there, they found out they saw my meniscus was also damaged. So
all right, there we go. It had an inside button, not just an outside, it had an inside. All right. Good morning. How's everybody doing? We good? Good. Studying the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. We talked about last week, we talked about who was the author of it, and we decided that go along with what most historians believe, most scholars says that it was Solomon. So that's how we're going to proceed. But we'll see that I want us to look at how that some think that others could have authored it. And we'll see that at the very beginning of the book. So we have Solomon who prayed, was saw a dream. He was in a dream. He saw God, and God asked him what he wanted, and he said, "Hey, I want wisdom." And God said, "I'm going to grant you wisdom because you didn't ask for wealth and fame and other things, that you was asking wisdom on how to judge the people." Because Solomon says, "Hey, I'm just a young fella. My dad, you know, he's David. He's the one that really knew everything, and he really know how to run it. Hey, I'm going to need some help, God. Can you help me?" And God said, "Hey, yes, I'm going to help you. Not only am I going to do that, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but because of that attitude that you have, I'm going to make you far exceeding any other king that ever had lived in wealth and fame." So God grants him wisdom and the ability to be wealthy. So he's wealthy and wise and has fame. But God said, there's some things that you have to do, some things that you need to do, some things that you need to follow. And one of those things that God said was to stay away from foreign wives. Stay away from, do not have foreign wives. You know, in this study, as I'm studying, I kind of looked at that and I go, wow, you know, it's 1,000. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. But that's only speaking to the foreign. That's not talking about his Hebrew. So all these years I thought, wow, he's 1,000 different women. No, that's just the foreign ones. He said, don't do that. So we see here, if we look at Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1, and this is why that some people have believed that, because it speaks in the third person. It says, the words of the preacher. Remember, we talked about last week how that's a Hebrew word that was translated in the Greek Septuagint, and that's where we get the word preacher. The koleth in Hebrew, the ecclesia in Greek, and so it's the one in the assembly. So it says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, if we'll look at, go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and beginning with verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 beginning with verse 8. This, look at verse 8, how it matches. Vanity of vanities, all is vanities, matches the end of verse 2. Same thing. Then verses 9 through 14 of chapter 12. Is in the third person again. That's why some people believe that there's another author, that someone else has written this, and because he talks in the third person. And so now I want us to see that the connection of the last verse of 8 connects us directly to the verse 2. So it picks up. So if we could slide verse 2 of chapter 1, if we was to slide it over to chapter 12 at verse 8 and let it, now let's look back at chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1. And let's notice from verse 2 down to verse 11. If you could take that and slide it back under 12 verse 8, that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing, like we talked about last week, sometimes you'll watch a television show and it'll show this ending, so to speak, and you'll see this scene, one of the last scenes of the show, and then it says goes back to a week earlier, a month earlier, or maybe 2 or 3 years earlier. That's what we believe we have happening here. We're sliding that back because when you go to verse 12 of chapter 1, verse 12 of chapter 1, you will now see that in the first person, the personal pronouns I. So that's where it begins. That is the beginning. Is actually verse 12. That's the beginning of the story. That's the beginning of the quest. That's the beginning of what Solomon is going to say. And I believe, based upon my studies and what others reading, what other people that's a whole lot smarter than me. Yes, Jake. Yes. Some say that it's someone writing on behalf of them and not claiming that they believe that someone else is writing that on behalf of Solomon, not saying that he was not the wisest person, but that...
I'm saying this is written by the Holy Spirit. I don't care what the other people say.
That's fine. That's okay. All right. Jake says. Jake says. All right. Yes, and we do not deny that God gave him, he was the most wise person there is. So now back to chapter 1. Not arguing that. It is, we believe it to be Solomon. No one's arguing that. I am saying that there are some other people that study, that are very scholarly, that thinks that this was written by somebody else for Solomon. That's the only point I'm making. I believe it is Solomon saying, talking out a third person and saying, hey, the preacher says that this, we're actually looking at a journal. So now let's look at verse 13. Well, verse 3. Now we're going to look at some verses. Why? What is happening here? What is going on? What are we looking at? So in verse 3 of chapter 1, here's the question. What advantage does man have in all his work which is done under the sun? Key phrase, under the sun. What advantage? Now look at verse 13. And this is, picks up at the very beginning when Solomon says, we start telling us how this evolves, how he gets to where he's going to. Verse 13 says, and I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. Look now at chapter 2, verse 2. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 2. The same type question. What does it accomplish? Chapter 2, verse 11. Solomon says, thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. The term under the sun is used 27 times in Ecclesiastes, if I remember my numbers right. The word vanity is used 30 some times. Okay, so now look at chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. What profit is there to the worker from which he toils? What profit is there in the work in which he toils? Look at chapter 5, verse 16. So what advantage to him who toils for the wind? Chapter 6, verse 8. What advantage does the wise man have over the fool? Verse 11 of chapter 6. What then is the advantage to man? Verse 12 of chapter 6. For who can tell a man what will be after him under the sun? Look at chapter 8, verse 17. And I saw every work of God. I concluded that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. That is what Solomon's quest is to find out, is what advantage do we have here on earth under the sun? He says, I have set my mind. I'm going to investigate. He says, I'm going to test. I'm going to explore what advantage there is for man under the sun, separate from God, what that means. Not under God, but under the sun. What advantage? Another good word study here is, as you do your home studies, is look at the word God. It is not Yahweh. It's not Yahweh. It's Elohim. It's God. It lacks that personal relationship, that reverent, that Lord type relationship that the Hebrew normally would write in. Why? Well, how did we start our discussion? Why did God warn Solomon about the 700 wives or the foreign wives? Why? What did he say that they would do? That's time for you to talk now. What did he tell Solomon what happened with you had these wives? Turn his heart away to idols. So in this quest, going from now, from when we get to verse 12 through chapter 12, verse 12 through chapter 12, verse 9. We're going to see Solomon to try to set his mind to use his wisdom. Now he has this wisdom. He says, and I'm going to figure out. I'm going to figure out. But how does Solomon do that? And that's the way that we see this book composed, is he steps us away. There's this girl that went off to college, and it'd been about 3 or 4 months she'd been off of college. She decides she's going to write a letter home to mom and dad. So she sends that letter home and says, hey, mom and dad, if you would, please sit down while you read this. Please do that. Make sure they're sitting down. Said, my vision is starting to clear up some after that fall that I had. When my apartment caught on fire and I had to jump out the second story window. And so when I hit it hurt. It hurt me a lot. It hurt bad. But lucky enough, there was some fellow over there on the corner, some nice young man, matter of fact. He come to my rescue and he called the ambulance, and the ambulance come, and they took me to the hospital, and then they cared for me for a good while But then it was time for me to get out. My apartment was burned down, but that young man said, hey, I could come stay with him while they get the apartments fixed back up. And so she goes and says, I'm going to stay with him. And he's a really nice young man. He doesn't have a job right now, but he's working hard to get him a job so that take care of our child. Oh, yeah, by the way, I am pregnant, but I just decided I'd go ahead and write you before I started showing. But he's going to get a job, and the only reason that we're not married right now is because we couldn't pass the blood test because I got an infection. But, hey, the penicillin is going to clear it up in time, so I should be okay. Everything's going to be all right. Then she said, oh, by the way, my apartment didn't burn, and I didn't fall, and my health is just fine. I don't even have a boyfriend, so I'm not pregnant. And failed science. I just thought I'd put things in perspective. That's what Solomon has done here. These first verses here that he starts off, he's put the ending at the beginning. He's getting our perspective. All is vanity. All is vanity. Now let's look at that. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Remember we talked about last week? That is a form of a superlative. We have comparatives and we have superlatives. Comparative is that today I am faster than Austin. I am faster than Austin today. The superlative is when he gets better, he is the fastest. So that's what we see with vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Here is it. And so he starts out by saying, let's look around. And we've done this too. Let's not separate ourselves from Solomon. We're a whole lot more like Solomon than we want to admit. Because we ask these same questions that he's going to be asking. And we try to do some of these things that he's going to show that he investigated, that he explored, that he tested. He said, I put to a test these things to figure out what is my benefit, what is my advantage under the sun. Why do I live this life under? Agnostics like this, by the way. Atheists like this book, by the way. What is the advantage? He says, verse 3, what is the advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. Also, the sun rises and the sun sets. And hastening to its place again, it rises there again. Isn't that the way you feel sometimes? The word there for hastening for the sun is that it's panting. It's panting. No, don't we get there? Oh, yeah, I think so. You know how you go to bed at night and you say, ooh, I'm going to get to go sleep. Next thing you know, that alarm's going off. It's blaring. And you want to, boom, you want to knock it, huh? It gets here in a hurry, right? And then he says, the wind blows to the south and then turning toward the north. The wind continues swirling along and all its circular courses. The wind returns. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full to the place where the rivers flow. There they flow again. It's just repetition. Same thing. Same old, time after time. We see it day in and day out. Do we not get weary sometimes? Do we not ask some questions along these lines sometimes? I remember when my mother passed away. Why didn't the world stop? Why did it not stop? My mom passed away. Look at those people over here. How come it didn't stop? We ask those same questions. We're not all that different from Solomon. Why? Why does that person not seem to care? And that person that's that evil, how come he gets wins the lottery? How come he wins the lottery and has got a life of ease? So what Solomon is saying, he says, all the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. The place where the rivers flow, there they flow again. All things are wearisome. There's this little house over in Tuscumbia, right before you get into Spring Park, before they change the highway. The highway's changed now. Used to be a sharp curve around through there. Now they even got a light there now, don't they, Lee? There as you go towards Spring Park coming from Valdosta. There used to be a little white house that sat right there in that bottom. And somebody would move in there, and I'd go, oh, they're not going to last there long. Because in the springtime, when the spring creek would rise up and flood, there that house was. It was all flooded over. But you know what? That person would move out. Next year, someone else would move right back in. They'd move in that house. The flood come. And they might even make it a couple years before it flooded all the way up. It flooded up, and the house is still there. Solomon says, all is wearisome. Says, man is not able to tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. Right? I know Robin, that's not, her eye is not, because she cannot get enough of her grandchildren. I'll be sitting over on the couch. She'll hold up that big iPad. She got one, looks like a monitor. She'll hold that thing up, and there'll be Embry. See, look at Embry. Look what Embry's doing. And it ain't just a few seconds. Hey, look at Josiah. Look at Josiah. Oh, look at Joanna. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But the eyes don't get full, do they? They don't fill up. She's flipping. As soon as she sees that one, she's flipping for another one, trying to find another one. They never fill up. But doesn't that also, isn't that what happens to the people that they say that's what happens to the people that gets hooked on pornography? They can't get their eyes full. They become addicted. They just keep on. All is wearisome. All is vanity under the sun. What accomplishment can there be? Verse 9. That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done, so there is nothing new under the sun. Isn't it funny how sometimes we'll watch something and you'll see that, okay, so that they spotted this new moon over Pluto and we're going to name it Engelbert Humperdinck or whatever, whoever discovered it, right? We're going to name it that because he discovered that new moon. Is that a new one? When do you think that came about, Larry? God created it, right? Nothing new. There is nothing new. Well, I said, wait a minute. I got a brand new, what about, Austin, would you like a brand new Odyssey? Brand new. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, nice one. Yeah. A brand new one. Is it really new? Is that anything really new under the sun? No. You know, all you're doing is getting from point A to point B. His point is that nothing changes. These life cycles that we see day in and day out, people die, another generation comes. So where do I fit into this? How do I become, where is my legacy? He is asking. He said, there's not any. There's nothing. All is vanity under the sun. Yes. Appreciate the comment. Very good. Yeah, you know, and later it talks about the youth, specifically speaks to youth. And it still speaks to us as older too, right? Because the point that we really need to get is that God gave Solomon wisdom. What was the end result, as far as we know, according to the scriptures of Solomon, since you brought that up? What was the end result to Solomon? And what did God do? I'm just going to leave that right there. Study that for next week. What's the last things that we hear about God and his relationship with Solomon? Study that. Look at that. And then that'll speak to about being older too, and how does this apply? Because he was given all this wisdom. Remember, we said last week that, all right, was he given something special above what we're given? No. We're given God's wisdom right here. All right, so it says, is anything, verse 11, there is no remembrance of the earlier things and also of the later things which will occur. There will be for them no remembrance among those who will come later still. In other words, history repeats itself. You ever heard that phrase? History repeats itself. And there's not going to be any remembrance. Mike Davidson, what is your great, 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 great grandfather's name on your mother's side? What about your great, great? Great. All right, there we go. All right. Well, how much can you tell? Not a lot, right? That's his point. What is going to be our legacy? Every generation must learn again. And This verse here is a good place for it to stop and to begin in next week, because now we're going to go back to the beginning starting next week of where he says, I. Remember I asked you last week if you would mark some way the personal pronouns. I. Me, mine. And that will help with our study. Thank you and have a good day.